And this is our scripture reading for our message today. And again, with the theme of seeking God. Let's read it together in unison, shall we? O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Amen. Please be seated. Nothing perhaps it gives us a greater description of what it means to seek the living God than this beautiful passage of Scripture we've just read. When it says, my soul clings for you, that's exactly what was the frame of mind of David as he wrote these beautiful words 2,000, 3,000 years ago, a long time ago anyway. And certainly the words that are reflected here, the beautiful words that are given to us, are words that came directly from David's heart. If you remember, David, of course, was caught in sin with Bathsheba. The story is given to us throughout the scriptures of how David was fell from, if you could use the phrase, he fell from grace. And he fell from a position that was given to him by God. But we see how David was restored and how David came back into fellowship with God. But at the same time, as he came back into fellowship with God, he realized that there was an emptiness there in his heart, that there was a coldness, a callousness that he needed to address. And so God gave him that desire to seek him. You are my God, David says. Early will I seek you. David, I'm not sure if he was an early morning guy or not, but it seems as though the best times to seek God is in the early morning hours. David certainly knew something about that. And he says, my soul thirsts for you. If you can imagine being thirsty in a dry land. David was just that. He was thirsty in every shape, in every imaginable way. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. As I read that, I realize that I am far from where I should be in terms of seeking God myself. My prayer is that as we begin a new year, in the year 2017, that God would give me an appetite to seek Him, and to seek Him with everything I've got. And I realize that when I do that, and as I've read the Scriptures, and as I've studied God's Word over the years, there's something about seeking God that brings one into a right relationship, not only with God, but with the people around me and with the world in terms of understanding the context in which I live in and how God wants to use me to bring His glory to others. I mentioned last week about that book called A Christian Atheist. Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But a book written by Craig Groeschel, a book that I read this past fall, and the subtitle of the book is Believing in God, but Living Like He Doesn't Exist. And that's so true of our world around us today, and it's so true even of the Christian community. Many Christians fall into the trap of saying there is a God, but denying the power thereof. Many fall into the trap of giving credence to some kind of a religious connotation or religious following, but yet at the same time having cold hearts and being rather apathetic towards the claims of God's Word. You see, I believe that beyond a shadow of a doubt, God wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him. God wants more than just a Sunday morning religious ritual in which many, many people go through every Sunday. Our pews are full of people right now across America who see just attending church as being the only thing they need to do to satisfy their spiritual appetite. God wants more than just lip service. God wants wholehearted obedience and a desire to seek Him with everything we've got. What I'm saying is that He wants us to look at Him while He's talking to us. If you remember last week, I spoke about seeing through the eyes of Jesus, of God's eyes looking at us and us looking deep into the eyes and the heart of God so that we can connect with Him. And that's that connection that brings real hope. It's that connection that brings us into a right relationship with Him, a right relationship with one another, and gives us a zeal and a desire to touch people around us with the message of the gospel. You see, our journey into a deeper life begins when we turn our eyes toward Him, when we look full in His wonderful face, because then and only then do the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You see, some people may ask, okay, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Yeah, it's nice. That's nice flowery language. That's good to say. Those are good thoughts. And yes, they are scriptural and they're founded in the Word of God. But how do you do that? And that's what I'd like to address this morning. I guess I'm more of a pragmatist in many ways. I like the practical aspects of the Christian faith because it's very practical to live for Christ. It's hard. It's tough. But it's practical. God gives us practical advice. And I want to share with you five doables here this morning. I'm straying away from my 3 points, by the way. So there's five things here today. So it means you got to have extra paper to write down these 5 points. And I encourage you to write them down. Because these are five doables that could change you and I in this church in the year to come. Here's the first thing I want to suggest to you today. And that is that we are to cling and cleave every day. Do you know that this day God has given you is a special day? It is the only day you've been promised right now. You haven't been promised tomorrow because it hasn't come. Yesterday is past, so you need to forget about that. But God says we are to cling and cleave every day. What do we mean by clinging and cleaving every day? Well, look at verse number 8 of Psalm 63, that passage that we just read. Look what it says here. My soul, it says in the New King James, it says, my soul follows close behind you, my right hand upholds you. But right here, it says, my soul clings to you. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. My soul clings to you. What does that mean? What does it mean to cling to God? You remember when your children were little? And I don't know about you, but I get kind of emotional sometimes when I think of our oldest daughter, Jessica, her first day of school. She came, she did not want to go to school because she was a mommy's girl. we walked out to the bus stop with her. And she was about to get on that bus for the first time to go to school. It was going to be a whole new world altogether. And Jessica was clinging to her mom. I mean, she had her arms wrapped around my wife's legs, and she did not want to let go. She did not want to get on that school bus that first day. She was clinging. She was holding on. She was grasping. She did not want to leave the comfort of being a little girl at home where, you know, she was kind of spoiled a little bit. And heading out into that big, bad world, her first day of school. I remember that day is just like it is today. Of course, I was there, and I was kind of watching all this, and I didn't, you know, I had a few tears running down my cheeks, because that, to me, was kind of a new experience. The second time I remember is when we drove our daughter from where we were in Caribou, Maine, to begin university at University of Southern Maine in Gorham. That was a day. I think, for me, that was more, I had more of an emotional wreck that day than the day we put her on the bus for the first time. That was a tough day. If you can imagine this whole idea of clinging and cleaving, the Bible has something to say about it. And it's kind of neat, actually, how it gives it to us. We learn to cling to God on that with the same kind of desperation that a child feels on her first day of daycare or first day of school. That same level of intensity, that same attitude that says, I just can't let go of you. I just can't let you out of my sight. Believe it or not, I had some of those feelings. My wife had some of those feelings. In the book of Genesis, when God was talking about marriage, he said that a man should leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. There was this whole idea of leaving on one hand and cleaving on the other. Leaving and cleaving. The word cleave is the same in the root word for glue. Did you know that? The word glue is the same word. He's saying that it's like married couples that are stuck with one another forever. They're glued together and joined at the hip, if you will. It's a beautiful picture. Till death do us part. And so in Psalm 63, verse 8, David wrote this. He said, my soul clings to you. My soul clings to you. The word translated cling is the same word translated cleave in the book of Genesis. It means glue. It means, it describes our relationship with God. That our relationship with God is considered to be like glue sticking together. That's God's plan. That you and I would be stuck together with God. In other words, we need to cling and we need to cleave to our Heavenly Father. That's what that means. And this means that we acknowledge His presence throughout the day. It means that we acknowledge His presence in every situation that we're a part of. And when we feel as if we've moved away or we need to reach out, we need to once again wrap our arms around God and sense and feel His Spirit moving and living within us. Sometimes during the day we might venture off course. We know that for sure. All of us have been there. I've been there. You've been there. Because we do wander. We do stray. We do get tossed in other directions at times. But when that happens, We need to get right with God again. We get in the habit of acknowledging God's presence. We do it the first thing in the morning. When I wake up in the morning, I try to start a conversation with God. I try to say, Lord, it's a new day. I don't know what's ahead of me, but I'm trusting you for whatever there is ahead of me. I don't always pray that kind of prayer, but it's kind of like it. And it's a good prayer to pray. It's a prayer to say, Lord, I'm walking with you and I'm trusting you through this day. Because let's face it, we don't know what the whole day is going to bring. We may have our day all planned. We may have it all, we think we know what's going to happen. But you never know when something's going to turn our world upside down. And you never know when something is going to pull the rug from under us. And then at the end of the day, I just say, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you. After we've turned off the TV, and after we've watched our favorite program or whatever we've been doing or reading a book, we switch off the lamp, we kiss our spouse goodnight, and we say, thank you, Lord, for this day. We drift off into sleep, acknowledging again His presence. It's nothing but the presence of the Lord. Presence of the Lord in our lives, clinging to Him. Maybe it wasn't a perfect day, and maybe you made all kinds of mistakes and you can count, and you forgot to acknowledge His presence more than you can count. But yet, at the same time, it's not too late to cling and to cleave and to thank God for the day He has given. After all, this is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and we'll be glad in it. And so, there's that clinging and that cleaving. And I think as we seek God, we've got to once again be reminded of that. The second thing is the whole idea of praise and adoration. If you look at verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 63, this is what it says. Because your loving kindness is better than life. It's better than life, folks. As a result of that, my lips shall praise you. And thus I will bless you while I live. There's a song I think we sing that comes right out of this verse. My lips shall praise you, my hands... Well, go something like that anyway. It's a beautiful song. I will lift up my hands unto the Lord. You know that one? It's a beautiful chorus. My lips shall praise you, and thus I will bless you while I live, and I will lift up my hands to your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Wow, what a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. Seeking God. We're to praise Him. We're to adore Him. We're to worship Him all through the day. Psalm 100 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We're to praise Him. You don't have to be in church to praise Him. You don't have to be here gathered with all these people on a Sunday morning to praise Him. You can praise Him wherever you go, in whatever you do. I will praise Him. An essential step in seeking God's face and seeking His presence is to come before Him in a spirit of praise, in a spirit of gratitude. Seeking God means that we stop for a moment talking about me, me, and me. Or I, and I. And we start talking about Him, about His love, about His grace, about His power, about what He can do in our hearts. Oh God, You are good and You are worthy. And If you were never to do another good thing in my life, your goodness to this day is more than I could ever deserve. That's the kind of attitude. So I just want to spend this moment in your presence, Lord, to thank you, to praise you, to bless you. Seeking God involves making every day a day of thanksgiving, a day of praise, a day of celebration because of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's what it's about. And here's the third way. Third way is through the witness of the Word of God. You see, I really believe from the bottom of my heart, it is so important that we have a high view of this book, of this Word, of God's Word. The moment we start watering this book down, and the moment we start taking for granted this book, the Word of God, is the moment things will begin to go downhill. You see, there are those, even those churches today, that do not even believe that the Bible is the Word of God anymore. That it's not inspired, that there are parts of it that are inspired and there are parts of it that are not inspired. I think that's a tragedy. As long as I stand behind the pulpit in this sacred desk, I will proclaim the Word of God as being the infallible Word of God. That is profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for rebuking, for correcting, for giving us, equipping us to do the work that God has called us to do. It's the witness of the Word. And I'm talking about spending time in this Word. There are many of us who have Bibles at home that could decorate our walls, and yet we leave them untouched. We don't open God's Word as we should. We don't read it as we should. We don't allow God's Word to be meat and marrow in our hearts. It's the witness of the Word of God. Our personal relationship is not with the Bible. Our personal relationship is with our Heavenly Father. But we encounter Him in the pages of this book. That's why this book is so precious. That is why the Word of God is the living Word of God. That's why the Word of God is powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That is why the Word of God is God's tool in revealing God's revelation, God's message to this age. So we encounter Him in this way. And so I want to challenge you this year, if you're going to seek God, to seek Him through His Word. I want to challenge you this very moment to commit yourself every single day of spending time in this book, in the Word of God. I want to challenge you to spend time in reading it and understanding it. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. It's not that you would read the book or the Bible all the way through from cover to cover, and I know people that do that. They make it their project through the year to read the Bible from Genesis through to Revelation. That's not the issue. You can do that and still not have God speak to you. You can do that. But take God's Word every day. Let it saturate. Let it touch you. Let it be to you manna from heaven. And the fourth thing I think it's necessary in seeking God is the whole idea of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting with a focus. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when Jehoshaphat heard about the armies who were planning to invade Israel, the Bible says that they had that he set his face to seek God in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. And this is what it says. He proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. a fast. There's something empowering about this whole idea of fasting. There really is. I'm not sure what experience you've had in fasting, but every now and then I think it's important for us to take our minds off ourselves and set our minds and our focus upon Him. That's why next Saturday we are going to be encouraging each and every one of you to engage in a fast. Now, it may be you might want to fast one meal. Doesn't mean that you starve yourself to death. It could mean that you stay off your computer for a day. That's a good fast right there. It could mean that you throw away your cell phone for a day. Or it could mean that you would refrain from not watching or listening to the news. Boy, that's a hard one right there. The idea is not necessarily the food or whether it's TV or whatever you're fasting from. The idea is focusing on God. The idea is allowing Him, taking time with Him, where you would be taking time to do other things. That's the whole idea behind a fast. The whole idea behind a fast is to come closer to the Lord. The whole idea behind a fast is to experience His empowerment and to have a spiritual hunger to the things that God has given us. That's the whole idea behind a fast. And you don't have to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. But if you fast for one day or even a meal or two and you say, every time I feel a little hunger pain, instead of going to the refrigerator, I'll go to God. Instead of turning on the TV, I will spend a little extra time in prayer. I want to encourage you to do that. Try it next Saturday. Doesn't have to be next Saturday. You can do it all week if you want. I encourage you to do it once a week. Take one day a week where you will fast. And what do you do during that time of fasting? How do you pray? Well, you pray that God would be real to you, that you would be able to discover and encounter an intimacy with Him that you've never experienced before, that you would in some way and somehow you'd be able to understand that God is real, that God is on the throne, that He does answer prayer, that He wants to change our lives. He wants to change our church. He wants us to be empowered by His Spirit so that we can be a mighty force for righteousness in this community that we live. And here's the fifth way we can seek God. And it's just simply that we would clear out the clutter. What do I mean by that? That we clean out the clutter. I was doing that the other day, and I cleaned out some clutter out of my shed. You know how that is sometimes. Sometimes we bring things home, we leave it there, and we never touch them again. I have a mother-in-law who is the world champion yard sale person of Southern Maine. She brings everything home. She doesn't need them, but she brings them home anyway, and she has a shed that she puts everything in. I ask her, what are you going to do with all that stuff? I don't know. She has it. But there's some clutter in our lives that we need to clean out. There's a lot of junk in our lives that sometimes we need to clean out. There's a lot of stuff going on in our lives that we just don't feel we have the time or energy to pursue a closer relationship with God. But when we take a closer look at our day-to-day activities, we'll often find that, you know, there's a lot of non-essentials. There are things that are directing us in other ways rather than to a closer walk with Christ. Maybe we can get by with less TV. Maybe we can get by with a little less Facebook, or a little less talk radio, or a little less of any and all of the above that is cluttering our schedules and consuming our free time. I'm speaking to myself there, because I think every single one of us are guilty falling into that trap. One way to seek God is to eliminate some of those meaningless activities that fill our time so that we can make room for the meaningful activity of being in His presence. Being in His presence. Some people say, but there are times when I just want to unwind in front of the TV and do nothing. Well, I don't know how many reruns of Murder, She Wrote you can watch, but after a while it becomes the same old all over again. There's a lot of meaningless stuff that goes on that way. You see, what about contemplating the presence of Jesus Christ? What about contemplating His empowerment in our lives and what He wants to do in our lives and how He wants to change us, how He wants to make us, how He wants us to be a tool for Him in such an ungodly world in which we live? We need to clear out the clutter. A reminder of that great verse in Psalm 46, verse 10, is one of the most precious verses of all that kind of stops me dead in my tracks many times, where David says, "Be still and know that I'm God." Be still and know. It's hard to be still, don't you agree? It's hard to be still in a world that is so fast-paced. But yet God says, "Be still and know that I'm God." I want to encourage you to do that this week. So these are the doables. And they are doable as we seek God. And we should implement each and every one of them into our lives. And let's remember that seeking God comes down to this. Seeking God begins with making and maintaining that eye contact with Him. No, God does not have physical eyes like we do. But day in and day out, all through the day, you turn your eyes toward Him. And we acknowledge His presence in our lives. God is not far away. He's only a prayer away. And seeking Him doesn't mean that we're looking for Him, because He has been with you all along anyway. He has not left you, but you have left Him. And we leave Him quite on a regular basis. The Scriptures teach us in Psalm 121, "The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand." He really is. God is always with you as a believer. If you know Him in your heart, if you are born again by the Spirit of God, He is with you. His eyes are turned forever toward you. You are the apple of His eye. And now He's asking you to turn your eyes toward Him, to acknowledge His presence, to pay attention as He speaks to you through His Word, to keep Him front and center throughout the day and whatever you do, in all your relationships, in all your endeavors, in every situation. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. And I've saved the key verse for today's message until the very last, because I'm hoping this week you will make it your prayer, as King David made it his prayer. It's the passage I used last Sunday from Psalm 27, verse number 8. It says, "My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, O Lord, will I seek." Will you seek His face? Will you trust Him today? Will you seek Him with everything you've got? Will you allow Him to fill you with His Spirit? Will you allow Him to visit with you anew and afresh? Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near, the Scripture says. Seek Him. Seek Him with everything you've got. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would seek you with all our being. And Father, I pray today that if there's someone here seeking you that may have not come to a full understanding of just how much you really love them, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for that person. If there's someone here, Lord, who senses there's a sense of emptiness and unfulfillment in their lives, Lord, I pray that you would fill them to overflowing with your grace, with your mercy, with your love. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for those believers here that perhaps they just need to fall in love with you all over again and be renewed by the inner working of your Holy Spirit, that once again they would sense victory, they would sense new joy, a new purpose, new vitality, and new life. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would fall fresh upon us, that you would fill us, O God, with your Spirit today. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close our...